Greetings, my friends, and welcome to The Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. Journalists and historians have a front row seat for much of what happens in the world. Our guest, Sir Harold Evans, is legendary in the world of journalism, and his books, The American Century and They Made America, offer sweeping historical looks at the United States. A renowned editor, Sir Harold was known as Harry before he was knighted by Queen Elizabeth for his reporting on thalidomide. He's convinced that a rich variety of ideas is essential to creating an inviting future. How should we move forward? With courage, he says.
Courage has to begin as an individual thing, just like it had to begin as an individual thing during the civil rights days, or like it has to begin as an individual thing when somebody is anti-Semitic. So everybody has to have the individual courage when somebody says something which is vicious and prejudiced or even wrong. Not necessarily to say you're wrong, but to say, let me understand the reasons.
Sir Harold Evans settled in the U.S. in 1984, having been editor of the Sunday Times of London for 14 years, then of the Times of London. He was founding editor of Condé Nast Traveler, president and publisher of Random House, editorial director and vice chair of U.S. News and World Report, The Atlantic Magazine, Fast Company, and The New York Daily News. Britain's journalists voted Sir Harold the greatest all-time British newspaper editor in 2002. His book, They Made America, inspired the television series of the same name. Bill Russell and I were intrigued by Sir Harold's perspective on the world, on the United States, and on the media in which he has played such a remarkable role. So it was with particular pleasure that we welcomed him to this conversation. Sir Harold Evans, I am intrigued by the brain sciences and how we come to understand more and more about the human animal. Two things in particular as I was looking forward to this conversation. The brain scientists say that the way our brains work, everything comes in, and it is our job, our brain's job, to pick out the things that are most immediate, that we need out of all of this stuff coming in. So we are good at putting boundaries. And they also say that the way our brains work is that we'll pick two or three things, and then we'll generalize from them. So it is both a matter of putting boundaries and exploding boundaries. So as I thought about you coming as one of the world's great editors, I thought, that's what an editor does. Both puts constraints and explodes the boundaries for us. Is that right?
Well, it's very flattering to put it that way. Some of the greatest changes have been brought in our lives by people who transgress boundaries or by mixed disciplines. And I think one of the things, I was reading Jeff Hawkins' book on intelligence, which has just come out. He's the behind the Palm Pilot and so on. And he's arguing that the brain works differently from a computer. And I've not finished the book yet, but one thought occurred to me that actually, one of the reasons some people do dramatic things is that they've disregarded assumptions and disregarded what our memories tell us will happen if we do X. So they do something surprisingly different. So you cannot predict the brain. I don't know. I mean, he's trying to understand it. I can't even understand the way I think.
Franz de Waal, who is a primatologist who's been studying chimpanzees and other primates for 30-something years, says the reason that you can't make that comparison to hardwired computers is because you don't factor in emotion.
Exactly right, emotion. And also the hardwired computers are on, off, on, off. Whereas life is much more subtle than that, and the intuitions or the facial expressions and the emotions. Half the people I've studied, actually, I doubt whether they thought differently in most of their lives or most of their activities, but they must have thought differently in some areas. And it's nothing intimidating like a super intelligence. It's different ways of thinking.
I just got through reading a piece by The Economist looking at technology and the future of technology, and they're talking about the digitizers and the people that are migrating to the digital, and then they talk about that retrograde group, the analog people. And in some ways, it seems that what you're talking about is precisely that. That there is a continuum. There is not this, you know, this chopped into neat little pieces, on, off, yes, no, black, white. The life, the world we inhabit actually is much more subtle than that.
That's the difference.
And much of that you bring out as you're looking at innovators with They Made America, that you're, as you're looking at lots of ways over 200 years, there is more, that this continuum is a very important part of understanding how you move things, whether it's forward or not, move things.
Yeah. What impressed me is how obvious some things are, and yet we don't see them. I mean, it's so when I came to America in the 50s, and I was overwhelmed by the supermarkets of food, because I'd just come from a country where there was rationing and no food. Anyway.
And that was after the big war, yeah, well, and much of the world was bereft.
Yes, well, that's right. Well, America was consuming a vast amount of the world's resources, but actually producing most of two-thirds of the world's manufactured goods in the 50s. But it never occurred to me, why not a supermarket for other things? Why not a supermarket for office products, staples? Why not a supermarket for hardware and stuff, Home Depot? And yet, I'm not interested in making a fortune, frankly. But if I'd been interested in making a fortune, I'd be kicking myself all the way up the hill. Everything, you know, Malcolm McLean, as a trucker in North Carolina, 1937, watching bits and pieces loaded on a ship and very impatient because he wants to get on with things, has the idea of putting everything in a box, a container. He doesn't do it for two decades, virtually. But that revolution, everybody's life, again, it's so obvious.
The container shipments.
The container shipping is so obvious. It's as obvious as the 3M Post-it note. Why is it? Now, you're talking about the way people think. What kind of primitive forces are at work that make somebody see things that I certainly don't see and millions of others don't see? What is it? It's maybe analog, maybe that somewhere in the continuum there's a little blip. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand why. I can understand a genius more than I can understand the obvious. Now, it's not a genius to create staples or a container ship, and yet in a curious way it is. It's not genius like Beethoven, or it's not genius like Edison, for instance, wrestling with radio circuits.
There are many things that Sir Harold Evans does know, some of which we will learn when we come back in just a moment with the Paula Gordon Show, Bill Russell and I, and I'm sure Sir Harold will invite you to be with us when we come back.